Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
If you got your Bible this morning, go to Joshua chapter 1. We are starting a new series from the book of Joshua titled Brave. And we're going to be looking at various, we're going to be looking at all of Joshua, but we're going to take it and sometimes it'll be just snippets, other times it'll be a chapter, other times it'll be a context of a broad area of verses and chapters. But I want to talk to you this morning on the topic from the shadows. Have you ever noticed how much of our life is defined by others? Who you are, all the voices telling who you are or what you need to do or what you're going to become. And these voices are speaking to you. Some of them you like, some of them you're drawn to, some of them are you're just like, that's not me. It reminds me of a story as I was thinking about this this week of a college student. He was coming towards the end. In fact, it was his last semester of college. He was going to be graduating. He was taking a biology class. He needed this class to graduate from college. And so it was a big deal. And the reality was he wasn't doing very good in this class. And so as his final came, he knew he needed to hit it out of the park and get a good grade. And so he was studying, he was diligently, faithfully studying for this test, and he showed up for class that morning, and he felt pretty confident that he was gonna do all right for this final, and walked into the classroom and looked around the room, and all over the walls were pictures. And all that was showing on the pictures was the legs of the bird. And he's like, well, that's kind of interesting. That hasn't been up, in the classroom all semester. I wonder what's up. And all of a sudden, the professor walks in and he says, today's your final. And this is the requirements for your final. It's easy. It's short. All you need to do on the piece of paper that I'm handing you now is to go around the room and write the name of the bird by identifying it by its legs. And the student was just ticked, man. He was just exasperated by this requirement. And so he goes to the first one, looks at it, and he has no clue. Goes to the next one, same story. Next one, same song. And he is just like beside himself. And so he grabs his paper, walks up to the professor's desk, slams his paper down, turns around, walks out, heading towards the door. And all of a sudden the professor says, wait! You didn't put your name on your paper. What's your name? And the student stops, turns around, and says, yes! And walks out. Our identity is, we get it from so many different things. So many different ways. And it's spoken to us by so many different voices. Where does your identity come from? And let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have the courage to redefine yourself if necessary? It's interesting to me. I love it how God does it. As we were worshiping through those songs this morning, how much of them were speaking to your identity. And you probably didn't even realize it. But as we walk through our message today, you will see it more and more. Where does your identity come from? Joshua chapter 1, go there with me if you're not there yet. It'll be on our screens. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says this, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you, what I promised Moses, wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land that I've given you. That's an incredible passage of scripture. What we're going to do today is just in Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be there for a couple of weeks looking at this chapter from a variety of different angles and perspectives. But today I just want to talk to you about Joshua. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. It wasn't a shocker for Joshua to hear that Moses has passed. There was preparation already taking place for this transition of responsibility. Moses' health had been failing. You read about it in Deuteronomy. It was announced by the Lord that Moses wouldn't cross over into the promised land. So they knew that was a reality in the back of their mind. They knew that the Lord had spoken that. You read about that in Deuteronomy 31 and 32. But that statement, Moses, my servant, is dead. It had to be one of those life-defining statements for Joshua. Because all of a sudden, his responsibility and his duty was changing. His role, his identity was changing. Even when you know death is inevitable, you still aren't fully prepared for it, are you? I wonder for Joshua if this was one of those the rug pulled out from under you moments in his life. Those moments when the weightiness of it causes you just to gasp and say, okay, what now? Those moments when you think, I knew stuff like this happened, but I never thought it would happen to me. Those defining moments. I was thinking about some friends of ours when we were in college. They were pillars of the church that we were involved in. He was an incredible leader. He was a part of the leadership of the church. He was actually part of the founding families of this church and an incredible business leader in the community. And one evening, Tim said, I need to go to work. There's extra stuff I need to do there. And so he went to work. And his wife, expecting him home, she woke up later in the night, he wasn't back, was worried, called, no answer, called the business, no answer, because concerned, ended up calling the authorities. The authorities went to the place of work, and the place was in a wreck. It was in shambles. It had been ransacked. Tim's shoe was found laying in the parking lot. There were splatters of blood here and there throughout the office. And fear and confusion and worry struck the family, and rightly so. Came to find out a few days later, they didn't know where he was at. They couldn't find anything. No, nothing. Came to find out a week later, or days later, he was located in Tennessee, alive. And they brought him home, and it's just a long story. I won't go into all of it, but he tried to play confusion. I don't know what happened. I don't know my wife. I don't know my kids. I don't know you, to the pastor, and et cetera, and et cetera. And he wanted to. He wanted to flee from his identity. He wanted to flee from his roles. And that family, for a time, was overcome by their husband ripped out of them. Their father pulled away. Who is this guy? The church, he was a key leader, and he's gone, and he doesn't acknowledge, he doesn't recognize, he doesn't want to be a part of us. What do you do when that rug is pulled out from you? Because all of a sudden, the identity of that family drastically changed, and it's awesome to report God was so faithful in bringing them through that season of life where the wife and the kids, and they're doing well, last I heard, but it changed their family forever. Even in those moments, like Joshua had served Moses for years, and his role is about to change. And as you look at Joshua and you look through his roles through the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers, you see several different hats, if you will. I just want to talk to you real quick about them. We won't be long here, but in Exodus chapter 7, you see 17, you see one of the roles that Joshua filled, and that was a soldier. In verse 8, it says this of Joshua, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. And that's the battle where Moses, Joshua is fighting, and if Moses had his hands up, they would be winning. But as Moses grew tired and his hands would drop, they would begin to losing. And so Aaron and would hold up Moses' hands, and they would proceed in victory. But as you look at the accounts and exploits of his life, it's clear that Joshua was a person of courage throughout all the days of his life. I think there's something really practical for us in this lesson of Joshua being a soldier. And it's found in verse 14 there in Exodus after the victory. It says this: after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And you're like, wow, Steve, that's really harsh, but we don't want to camp there. What I want you just to glean and to pull away from that Joshua, Moses' instruction from the Lord was this: write down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. Read aloud to him what the Lord did for him, how the Lord proved himself faithful. And that just says to me and you that you and I, we would be very wise if we would write down when we see the activity of God happening in our life, in our family's life, that we would be really wise to write that down so that we can recall it, that we can post that thing on the refrigerator, we can post that thing on the mirror. Every day we can look at it and say, God was faithful, and there is evidence of it. He was faithful then, and he will be faithful now. I am reminding myself of the faithfulness of God. So you can be a valiant soldier. I think God is so true to his word still yet today. And then you learn this about Joshua, that Joshua, he was a slave. He was a slave before he's a soldier. I think we forget about that. Before Joshua was a successful military leader, he was a slave in Egypt and experienced the bondage of the slavery that the Israelites had experienced. He was born in slavery in Egypt, and he was given the name Hoshea in Numbers chapter 13, verse 8, which means salvation. And Moses later changed it to Joshua, which means Jehovah, or the Lord is salvation. It's interesting to me as we talk about this identity thing that when his parents gave the baby Joshua the name, his name, it was salvation. They were holding to the promises. It was bearing, every time they looked at them, at little Joshua, it was bearing witness of their faith in God's promises to bring them salvation. Man, I'm thinking, you know, I didn't name my kid Joshua, you know, salvation, but man, maybe I should have named Caleb Ritchie, thinking someday he's going to be rich and he's going to take care of his daddy or something like that. Right? But we didn't do that. But Joshua would have seen and heard all the signs and wonders and all the pain and all the exploits that God did for the children of Israel. And that is his God, how God had rescued them, cared for them, and was faithful to them. So he was a slave, but then we learn this about Joshua, that he was a servant, a soldier, a servant, a slave. In Exodus chapter 24, 13, it says, so Moses and his assistant, or depending on your translation, Moses and his minister, or Moses and his aide, Joshua set out, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. He is now Moses' right-hand man, his official assistant, if you will. This incredible warrior, you learn, was a passionate worshiper. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 11 tells us that Joshua stayed in the presence of the Lord. Moses would step out to his responsibilities to tend to the people of Israel, and Moses or Joshua would stay in the tent and just worship and enjoy the presence of the Lord and offer himself to the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning, because I understand that all of us are wired differently, and some of us are more engaged in times of prayer than we are in during times of worship and or song, or some of us are more engaged in time of song than we are in times of worship, or however that worship would be identified. But let me ask you this morning, do you get restless in the presence of God to where you're going, is it over yet? Learn from Joshua, this man of God, this great servant, this great warrior. He was a worshiper. A recent book that the staff has read, it's entitled Fearless. It's about a Navy SEAL by the name of Adam Brown, who gave his life for our nation. In this story, it's the biography of his life, and it talks about his upbringing in Arkansas and his family, close family upbringing, and stuff happened in his life to where Adam got addicted to hardcore drugs. Went off to Teen Challenge, but that angst, that draw was still there, and he relapsed a couple times, but fortunately through providence and God's grace and relationships, the opportunity for him to serve in the Navy opened up, and he went there, and he went with the mindset, man, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. And reached that. It's an incredible book, an incredible story, but reached that plateau of success in the military, if you will, gave his life in Afghanistan for our nation. And as you read the book, and fellow soldiers, fellow SEALs at his ceremony, at his funeral, were sharing about his life, one of them just made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing, but Adam loved his country, Adam loved his family, and Adam loved his Lord. And he wanted nothing more for his family than for them to serve Jesus and for him to be an example of what a warrior for Jesus is like. It's an incredible story. Lastly, we learn this about Joshua, that he was a spy. You read about that in Numbers 13, being one of the 12 that Moses sent into the land of Canaan, the promised land, to spy it out, to check it out, because that's what the Lord had promised them. Joshua and Caleb go into the land, and they return with the 10 other spies. If you know, you've been in Sunday school, you know the story, right? The 10 of them gave a report that said, man, we can't take this. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can take this. The land looks incredible. God is for us. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But back to this defining moment, this statement that hangs before us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I don't think it would be wrong to say that Moses gave Joshua a lot of identity. I don't think it's wrong to say that Israel gained a lot of their identity from Moses. It's not a bad thing. I mean, parents do that all the time. Moses not only gave Joshua identity, he gave the Israel identity. How would you like to have the role of being the right-hand man to the staff carrier? You know, Moses had this staff that would part the Red Sea and do all these things, and you're like, yeah, I carry a staff. And me and Moses, we go to the mountaintop together. You know, I mean, how many of you know name droppers? You hang around somebody and they like drop names. And there's a good friend of mine up in Topeka. He's like the ultimate name dropper. He's like, yeah, me and Brownback, we go way back, you know, or whatever. It's just funny. And I'm like, if I was Joshua, I'd be like, me and Moses, we're tight. Most scholars believe that the book is self-titled, that Joshua wrote this book. He self-tagged it. He self-identified it. How does he identify himself here? He identifies himself as Moses' aide, doesn't he? Moses' servant. How do you identify yourself? Skippy's mom? Misty's dad? Life Point's pastor? By your job? Some of you probably maybe identify yourself by an offense that you've taken and you carry. Or maybe it's an addiction. Or maybe you find yourself identifying yourself by the number of Facebook likes that you receive. How often do we identify ourselves by roles or by what people say of us? Let's face it, at times it would be nice just to be the aide, wouldn't it? Because the burden's different. I mean, I would be lying If I never had the thought cross my mind in the past 2 years, sure would be a lot easier if I was just a staff pastor again. Because there's times where I'm like, staff pastoring is a lot easier than senior pastoring because the responsibility and the burden's different. I mean, I love snow, case in point, man, I love snow days. I hope this rain that we've been getting the last few weeks translates into what's going to happen this summer. I mean, this winter. Just not on Sundays. Because the burden's different. I mean, you know, we have snow days on Sundays. Y'all staying home in your pajamas. Some of you will come out because you're just here all the time. Others of you are like, we got a skiff of snow. We're staying home. Right? And there's a burden different because now I have the burden of the responsibility of staff. I have the burden of missionary support. I have the burden of benevolence in our community. I have this burden. And it takes all of us to help meet those needs. Right? So the burden is different for me than it is for you. And that's not like, oh, you know, poor whiny Bronco fan. You know, that's not what I'm getting at. But for Joshua, his role is about to change. There is a new identity he's about to step into. He is moving from servant minister aide of Moses at the start of the book to at the end of the book, he self-titles himself servant of the Lord in Joshua chapter 4, verse 29. There's this transition of identity. There's this reoccurring conversation that's happening between Joshua and the Lord, between Joshua and Moses, and between Joshua and the people. We'll look at it in detail in the coming weeks, but any takers on what that reoccurring conversation is? In Joshua chapter 1, you see it 4 times, be strong and courageous. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, you see it 2 times, be strong and courageous. In both of those chapters, you see it 5+ times, this statement from the Lord, Joshua, I am with you. Joshua, I am before you. Was it because Joshua is chicken and had a tendency to want to run from battle instead of to battle? Not at all. That is how God sees Joshua, strong and courageous. That is what God speaks over Joshua. I am with you. Joshua, be brave. I am with you. Can I just say to you, in light of what you're facing, in light of what you're going through, be brave. In light of what you're experiencing in life, in light of what your needs are right now, be brave. Here, God speaks that to Joshua, and I believe God speaks it to you, be brave. How many of us have lived our lives with a lesser definition of ourselves than what God has spoken into our own life? And unfortunately, if we were authentic and real with one another, I think probably all of us would say there's been seasons and times in my life where, yeah, I've lived with a lesser definition. We define ourselves by the less. We lower the expectations because we don't want to disappoint or fall or do something that would cause us to fail. When I think about this, I can't help but think of Moses, Joshua's mentor, Joshua's leader. The account of his calling takes place in Exodus chapter 3, which is just a few books to the left in the Old Testament. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, we read this. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, and I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. It's interesting as I read that account, as doubts and questions are gushing from Moses. Moses is like, man, I stutter. Moses, you want me to lead or you want me to talk to Pharaoh? Moses thinking, I take care of sheep. That's my banner. That's my success. Moses thinking, if I go before him, he'll kill me. Amazing. God didn't respond to Moses with a pep talk. He didn't send Moses to the center of you can do it training to try to boost his confidence. He didn't say to Moses, hey, just turn on your TV Saturday afternoon, watch this paid programming show on how to motivate yourself and talk to people that are more experienced than you. He doesn't waste a second trying to pump Moses up for the task. He doesn't say, hey, put on some 80s heavy metal music to arouse your emotions and to get you fired up. Why is it that the 80s music is what you hear at football games? You know? He doesn't try to build his fragile self-esteem with, come on, Mosey, you and me, we can do this together. We believe in you. We need you to believe in yourself, Moses. Instead, you know what, God? God answers Moses' who am I question with five life-changing or life-shifting words. It's the same words that he speaks to Joshua. It's the same words that Jesus speaks to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. It's the same words that I believe that he speaks to you and I. I will be with you. It's the words that he spoke to Tim's family as he went off and left his family. I will be with you. It's the same words that he spoke to Adam Brown as Adam walked through his valley of addiction and getting pulled out of that and experiencing what he experienced serving our nation. I will be with you. God invites us. He invites you and me into his story, giving us various roles that are seemingly too big for us to carry out. But by faith, we step up, and his affirmation is always the same. I will be with you. Here's the deal. Scripture is chock full of accounts that whenever there's this an encounter with God, there's this radical redefining of self. Joshua's life is bookended by such people. You have Moses on one side of Joshua's life. He was a victim of a Holocaust. Survivor of being raised with a home that had family members who sought to destroy the newborn Israelite babies, which he was one of them. Read about it in Exodus chapter 1. His grandpa, grandpas are supposed to be heroes, right? Pharaoh was Moses' adopted grandpa. He's no hero. Moses' early life was defined by tragedy and failure. Moses was defined by bad decisions early on in his life. But then, new identity happens. On the other end of Joshua's life is Rahab. You read about her in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 6, defined and identified by the people of her day as one of Jericho's prostitutes, a lady of the night. God redefined her as she welcomed the spies into Jericho and housed them as they scoped out the land. As Joshua's army was ready to come across and begin to take the land. And she's redefined by being one of four ladies mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. Question. What choices have defined who you are? What choices have confirmed or convinced you that you are lesser? Those are the lesser voices that are nowhere near the greater voice of God that declares, I am with you. When we enter into relationship with the creator of the universe, he redefines who you are. He calls us out of the shadows of others into what he called us to be. He redefines you and overshadows any voice in your life that called you to be less. Joshua heard the voice of God over his life and knew that he was no longer Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide. He was Joshua, son of Nun, the leader of Israel. There's a moment in all of our lives where we have to find the courage to redefine ourselves. It takes courage to become who and what God intended you to become. And the easiest thing, listen, for all of us, the easiest thing for us to do is to settle. But it takes courage to push through. The easiest thing for you and I to do is to quit knocking. But Jesus said, knock. Don't settle. Here's the deal. The worship team would come. As soon as a person defines themselves in the eyes of the moment or in the eyes of a situation or a decision that they made and not in the eyes of God, I want to submit to you, you lose a big part of your soul. Your purpose is way bigger than something that came out of nothing. In a culture that we live in today, that in settings that are adamantly opposed to God in creation and in designer, where it is spoken that the essence of your life has evolved over millions of years and you came from a single cell mass and here we are today. The essence of your life didn't evolve over a million years of randomness. But God has spoken through God's plan and will, the will of God. God says to you, I am with you. There's purpose. There's identity. Let me just give you three takeaways from the life of Joshua before we leave. Number one, this ties into identity. The majority isn't always right. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we didn't look at it very long, touched on it, but the spies come back with a report of the promised land, and 10 of them say we can't do it. 2 of them said we can take it. I don't know if you've seen it, if you're on Facebook or social media stuff, but there's the last couple of weeks, there's been this video going around. It's the conformity experiment. Where people walk into, I believe it's a doctor's office, and a person will walk into the doctor's office, sit down, there'll be a bell that rings, and then everyone in that room will stand up, and the new person into the room just sits there and looks around for a few times. And almost all of the video that I saw, every individual ended up standing, but they didn't know why. They were conforming. And you know, the scary thing is too often people in societies, people in culture conform to that which is around them instead of to what God has called them to be. Roger Ellsworth says this was the majority report, speaking of the 12 spies coming back into the land or coming back to report of the promised land. This was a majority report. It had profound effect on the people. They began weeping, chapter 14, verse 1, and complaining about the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They wished that they had died while still in Egypt or during the year they had been in the wilderness. He writes, work this out. They were afraid to go into Canaan because they thought that they would be killed, so they wished that they had already died in Egypt or in the wilderness, as if those graves in those places were more superior than the one in Canaan. Don't conform to the majority. Secondly, learn this from Joshua's life. Speak the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord over your life. Speak the word of the Lord over your family. You know, son, wife, spouse, you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are beautiful. You are wise. You are an incredible leader. Speak the word of the Lord over your family. Honey, I just want you to know, you are the most beautiful woman that I could ever want, ever think, ever desire. Speak the word of the Lord over your family. Talked with a good friend this week, and we were just reporting what was going on. It had been about a year since we talked. He was the best man in my wedding, and just was sharing what was going on in our life and things that we were seeing the Lord doing in our life, and he began to share what God was doing in his life. And he was like, my daughter, I'm driving to Denver to take my daughter to her first year of college, and I'm leaving her there. And I'm like, dude, are you crying? Oh, yeah, we were blubbering babies last night. But she's going to Denver University. It's a private school. He said, Steve, God is faithful. This is the most expensive school in the state of Colorado. It's over 60 grand a year. And he said, it's paid for. She got this incredible scholarship. Not only is her classes, her schooling's paid for, they give her a stipend every week. She's going to be taking me to lunch, man. And he's just like, I don't get it. But it's the favor, and it's the grace, and it's the provision of God. Looking back at Numbers 13 and 14 again, as Joshua and Caleb stood as a minority, they had seen the same giants, they had seen the same cities, they had seen the same fruit, they had seen the same armor and the weaponry of the armies that they were going to be going against. But while the ten urged the people to turn back, Joshua and Caleb urged them to go forward. How is it that two men came to a different conclusion than the ten? I think as you look at chapter 14, it's not hard to find out. In their report, the ten did not mention the Lord once. While in Joshua and Caleb's brief account, and it's just verses, Joshua and Caleb mention the Lord four times. God is with me. God, honey, God is going before us. Church, the Lord is leading LifePoint Church to impact our community, to impact our region. God is a healing God. God is a restoring God. God is a restorer of broken dreams and broken hearts. Speak the word of the Lord. And finally, there's this call to believe throughout the book of Joshua. One of the calls that echoes through the Joshua is this call to believe. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. We won't take time to look at the passage of scripture because of time. But in that passage of scripture, he talks about muttering the word of the Lord. Literally meditate on the word of the Lord. That word meditate means to mutter. It's believing. I believe God's faithful. I believe God's going to bring us through. I believe God's going to offer a breakthrough in the situation. I believe God's going to give me the strength to stand as I weather this storm. God is faithful. 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 And because he's faithful, I'm going to be faithful. Speak the word of the Lord. Would you stand with me? I've gone long today. I appreciate your patience. But Father God, I pray for faith to arise within our hearts. God, I pray for courage to rise within our hearts. You know the story of everyone in here. There's some in here this morning that probably thought, man, church on a Sunday morning is the last place where I think I'm going to be. It's the last place I thought I would be. Maybe they came in here thinking this is the last place that I want to be at. But God, you have spoken to their heart. And God, I pray that they would be brave to walk in the steps that you've set before them. There's some here this morning and you have the wrong identity of yourself. You're identified by your past experiences. You're identified by your past addictions. You're identifying yourself by your past failures. Maybe you're identifying yourself by present definitions that others are giving you. Can I just identify you by a prophetic proclamation? I am with you. The word of the Lord to you this morning is, thus saith the Lord, I am with you. I'm with you. You're not going through the valley by yourself. I'm with you. There's going to be bends in the roads. It's going to be narrow places that you're wondering how you're going to get through. The word of the Lord to you is, I'm with you. Maybe you're here this morning and fear is preventing you from walking out your promises. And the best place for you to walk today is to this altar and take a knee before the Lord and let him build your faith. Let him pour into you his faith instead of your faith, because his faith is faithful. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to see the salvation of the Lord in your life. You need to know the forgiveness of your sins. You need to know the joy of salvation, a joy that is greater than anything that this world has to offer. And it's the joy of him who took your sins upon the cross. Him who knew no sin, Scripture says, became sin for us so that we may know the righteousness and we may know the joy of salvation. And you're here today, and that's where you need to start. As we pray, and if I could have some of the elders and Pastor Jacob, if you would be available too, just to come and place yourself around this altar during this prayer time. And as we worship the Lord, if you're like, man, you know what? I've been living by a wrong identity, and I just want someone to pray with me. Or maybe fear is preventing you from walking in the promises of the Lord. Then I encourage you to come forward and let these pray with you and stand with you. And if you need salvation today, today's the day that you say, you know what? I've lived my own way and I see where it's gotten and where I've arrived to, and I need salvation. I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I encourage you to come and allow these to pray with you.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.